When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
By now, Jay, because the assignment was to have it by 9 a.m. today, the list, right?
I already gave you a list.
Well, I mean, yesterday's
list.
You
remember the list I gave you?
Yeah, you did it out of order. It was supposed to be Zion's best, five best landing spots.
No, that was not the list.
What was the list?
You tell me.
The list was the five players most deserving of a no-trade clause in their contract.
There it is.
And it went, I think you started at number four.
Nope.
Five?
Three, five.
Three was Steph. Five was Embiid.
Ooh.
What was the next one?
No,
the number. Just give me the number.
3, 5, uh-huh. 2, 4.
Two was... Giannis.
Yep.
Four.
Come on. You got
four
it.
Was the hard one.
You got
was
it.
KD.
There you go.
And one was
Boom.
Joker. I got it
Boom.
In out of order.
I got it in out of order.
That's right. Off the dome. All right. Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, host of Baseball Tonight podcast with us now. What it is, Buster? What it is right now?
Well, it's going. How's it going? What it is, what it is.
Okay, let's start right off with this. Shohei Ohtani leading the world in every category on both sides of the field, right? What's the likelihood at this point that he will be, an Anaheim Angel or California Angel this time, LA Angel of Anaheim this time next year?
In terms of this year, I'd say about 10%. Because the one thing you hear about folks who know Ohtani is that he's a creature of habit, right? He lives close enough to the ballpark in Anaheim where he can walk there. He has his regimen. It's all about baseball. And if the Angels put an offer out there that's, in the same stratosphere that maybe we're going to see from the Mets or maybe we're going to see from the Padres or the Dodgers, then who knows? Maybe he surprises everybody as he did when he chose the Angels in the first place and says, look, I like this and I like where I'm staying. And maybe that, those chances are increased if they make the playoffs and they're in the best position as of this morning than they've been in his entire time with the team in terms of making the playoffs. They would qualify for the playoffs as of this morning, but people around baseball still think that there'll be an owner that'll go to crazy land and offer him over $600 million. Is that going to be Steve Cohen of the Mets? Is that going to be the Dodgers? Is it going to be the Padres? We'll just have to wait and see.
What would that stratosphere be, by the way? What kind of stratosphere are we talking about?
Well, I think that the question is going to come down to whether the first number in the contract that he gets starts with the number 5 or the number 6.
Oof.
I think it's basically a done deal. He's going to get $500 million plus because all these comparisons to Babe Ruth. No, he's much better than Babe Ruth was as a two-way player. And what he's doing lately offensively puts him in the Babe Ruth stratosphere purely as an offensive player. He started driving the ball through the middle of the field at the beginning of this month in a way that he hasn't in the past. Bruce Bochy, the manager of the Rangers, and I, were texting back and forth a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned that in the past, Ohtani sometimes would spin off at the plate, in his swing, most often against left-handed pitching, and that has stopped. He's staying through the ball. He's staying through the middle of the field. Max, he's got an OPS of, 1,700 since June 2nd. It's insane how good he's been offensively. And, look, that's a built-in insurance policy. If you're a team and you're worried about potential injuries of pitcher, you can say, well, okay, at the very least, we're going to get one of the top two or three hitters in baseball. And so I personally think that the number is going to start with a 6. I think that he'll get $600 million plus because some owners going to be absolutely rabid knowing what Ohtani's potential is as a player and as someone you're going to market.
I'm glad you said that, Buster, because I was going to ask you, what are we really paying for here, right? Are we paying for the pitching? Are we paying for the at-plate at-bats? What are we really paying? paying for? Because some people would say, hey, if he concentrated on this, he'd be the best at this. If he concentrated at bat, he'd be the best at that. So what are we really paying for?
Well, as far as Ohtani's concerned, you're paying for the whole package. And I will tell you, from the first time that he was, you know, in the consciousness of folks in Major League Baseball, that refrain that you just mentioned, that you heard that all the time. Like, he's got to choose one of the two. Eventually, he's going to have to choose one of the two. And I hear that key even to today, where people will say privately, look, he can't continue doing both. At some point, he's going to have to concentrate on one or the other. And, you know, typically, logic would suggest that would be as a hitter. I think that's why Babe Ruth, you know, switched to a full-time position player, you know, 100 years ago, because that was easier to maintain. But that's not what Ohtani wants.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And plus with the DH, it makes it easier for him to play out that dream. There are a lot of people, Key, and this is going to break your heart, who believe that if the DH had been in place when Ohtani made his decision to go to the Angels, he would have gone to the Dodgers. They believe that you know, because the DH, it gave him the opportunity to play out his dreams and be a two-way player.
ESPN Baseball Insider and host of the Baseball Tonight podcast, Buster Only, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Buster, you know, there's been a lot of conversation in the basketball world about why Dame needs to leave Portland. People keep getting really angry about it. And I'm just fascinated and curious on the baseball side, is there the same sentiment around Mike Trout and the Angels? Like, do we feel that at all?
You do hear that, where people feel like that this guy who is arguably the greatest player in the history of baseball has not been on an October stage, where I think everyone believes he would thrive. Like Trout, when he's been in all-star games, it feels like, you know, he hits home runs, he runs around the bases, he has a blast. He's incredibly competitive. He wants to win. And so people, I think, talk about him and say it would be great if they could get him into October on a regular basis. So I mentioned, you know, this is the best Angels team that we've seen since 2014. And I, you know, Trout's never going to say out loud, I wonder how he feels about the possibility of Ohtani leaving. Like, that's got to be heartbreaking for the guy, because the Angels are finally in a position where they might make the postseason. I do think their general manager is going to be hyper-aggressive before the deadline to try to get them into the playoffs. But baseball needs Mike Trout. They need Shohei Ohtani on that October stage.
Right now, who's the best team in baseball? Certainly not the Dodgers with our bullpen struggling the way that they've been struggling. But who's the best team?
So I think you could answer it one of two ways. Who's the best team? The Tampa Bay Rays. You know, they've played great. They've got the best offense that we've seen ever, because they're from them, because their power is at a place that they've never had before. We've always talked about the Rays being a great pitching team. Well, this year they actually have a great offense to match that. But if you ask the question, who's got the best path, the easiest path to the postseason, to October, I think it's the Atlanta Braves. It looks like the American League playoffs are going to be a steel cage match, you know, maybe with the Astros, the Yankees, the Angels, the Blue Jays, really good teams. The Braves, on the other hand, because of the struggles of a lot of the National League teams, including the Dodgers, I think the Braves right now might have the easiest path to get to the World Series.
So we're closing in on the halfway point in baseball. Of course, All-Star games don't fall usually exactly at the halfway point, but, you know, 162 games were, what, 76, something like that?
Yeah.
What do you think about the pitch clock up till now, about halfway through?
I think it's been phenomenal. And I think that most people in baseball, you know, feel that way, because we know what the public discourse has been. And if you ask any of the 30 managers how they feel about it publicly, they're going to say, yeah, I really like it. Major League Baseball made the right decision. I'll ask people privately, players, managers, staffers, what do you think? 95% love it. It's cut between 25 and 30 minutes off each game. And by the way, the games still have 54 outs, still have 9 innings. What's been cut out has been fat. And, you know, I go back to my focus group, my one-person focus group, my 19-year-old son, Jake, who in the past, when I've asked him to watch baseball, and he's like, nah, it's too slow, it's too boring. Now he's watching every pitch of every game. and he loves it and is ingesting in a way he never has before. And the internal metrics that we receive on Sunday Night Baseball reflect that more people are watching for a longer period of time, and that's what baseball wanted when they put these rules in place.
Anything with the demographics? Are they skewing any younger, Buster?
They are. I don't have them in front of me, but generally speaking, yes, they're connecting with the younger audience.
Yeah, by the way, the game used to be the national pastime, and partly that's because basketball and football hadn't really taken hold at the highest level yet. I mean, it's hard to compete against those sports. They're just intrinsically very good consumer-friendly sports. But baseball used to be much more like the game they're giving us now, with the pitch clock and the bigger bases and the stolen bases. It used to be that when it was most popular. Games didn't used to take 3.5 hours, right? They were the pitching changes and working the count so much. That's much more of a modern thing. So maybe if you give the people what was once their favorite sport, it'll get more popular. That seems to be pretty straightforward. Buster only, ladies and gentlemen. We'll argue about Ohtani versus Babe Ruth another time. Buster made an outrageous statement. I don't want to get bogged down.
I knew that would get you, Max.
I didn't want to get bogged down in a debate, but you got to get back to me when Ohtani is twice as good as the next best offensive player in the game and has the consecutive scoreless inning World Series pitching record. But that's for another day. The great Buster only, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN Baseball Insider. Thank you, Buster.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. Who are the four most influential players ever in the NBA? On the court. On the court. A list was put out yesterday on social media, and we reacted to it earlier. We're going to react again. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We've been asking today, who are the four most influential players in the NBA, at least in modern history, since we've been around, right? Last 50 years, give or take. On the court influence. We're not talking about sneaker sales. Although, as the point was brought up earlier in the show, sometimes stuff like the style of a player or whatever they do off the court can kind of add to their mystique in a way that has more people imitating them on the court as a result or amplifies their on-court influence. So who are the four? Jay, give me your four.
In my lifetime?
Yeah.
MJ, Steph, AI, and then I would probably have to go with Magic Johnson, Buck. I think a lot of people were imitating. I mean, look, Magic jumping center in the NBA Finals in his rookie year. People were trying to be like Magic in so many ways. So many conversations around him being maybe the best player in basketball. Mm-hmm. History, maybe, around that time. Mm-hmm. My dad was talking about it. I mean, I imitated Magic Johnson growing up. Kids are trying to do passes like Magic Johnson. Never thought I'd be 6'9", but the way he had eyes in the back of his head, I loved it, right? So between him and then AI, I just think is one of the – probably culturally, him and MJ are the most influential players ever to play the game.
Who are your four?
Culture-wise.
Who are your four key?
And then Steph, obviously, changing the geometry of the game.
Steph, MJ, Magic, AI. Who are your four?
All four.
Those are the four.
Yeah, same four. When you talk about hoops, same four. I mean, I look at AI on and off the court because I can't separate them, right? Everybody wanted to wear the cornrows or the French braids or whatever you want to call
them. That's part of on the court, though, the cornrows,
yeah,
the sleeves.
Yeah, all that's part of it. The sleeve, the cornrows, the shoes, his quicks, everything, right? Then you talk about MJ. We already know what that is. And then you talk about the other two.
I mean, Steph changes the game.
Steph shooting is ridiculous. You see, it's like Deion in football. You see guys that are in the NBA making the same type of money, doing the same things to a degree that Steph, Dame Lillard, Trae Young all come to mind. Bradley Beal comes to mind. I mean, even LeBron James is shooting from half court now.
Magic, I get.
I mean, everybody wanted wanted a 6'7" plus point guard.
All of them make sense. To me, the two that have to be on there are MJ and Steph. Right? Those two had enormous influence. Steph completely changed the game. He changed the way the game is played. But so did MJ. His influence was obvious. I mean, then you had Kobe after MJ. He's basically another MJ. And then I think the other two spots are open for debate. I think AI and Magic are very good candidates. And maybe ultimately those are the two you put on. I know you guys don't think LeBron is there because he's too hard to sort of imitate, right?
Well, but I think LeBron is there. He's just not top four for me.
To me, LeBron had an enormous... LeBron, during the LeBron era, it seemed to me the league went from... and maybe this is partly like what D'Antoni was doing in Phoenix or whatever else, but the league went from what you're looking for is the unstoppable ISO scorer, right? Whether that's a big or that's a wing, and it moved toward you want the point everything guy with a high IQ who can not only score but get the teammates involved. To me, that's enormous influence.
When you say the game has moved to that, like with the exception of LeBron, where else did the game move to that?
I think more teams looked like that.
Like, what are examples?
So between, well, I mean, it's tough because it was always LeBron in the finals. But I would say that put it this way, one of the things I felt was unfair to Carmelo in a way was that, and I think he'll be underappreciated in history, is that he had a game based on what was there when he was coming up. During LeBron's time, that changed so much that what a guy like Carmelo did was less valued. So he became, over time, less valued. Now, I think what happens is people just look to Steph and think, well, that's when the game changed. But LeBron had already changed it. It wasn't just the ISO scorer, incredible guy, best guy in the league. It was
But once again, I think you're talking about LeBron James 101. Well, I don't think you've seen a lot of imitations or strategies around LeBron James.
Well, I mean, even a guy like Westbrook or Harden or Luka, when they're putting up the triple doubles, it's with a lot of high assist totals. They're the primary ball handler, and they're putting up numbers all across the board.
Though, can't you?
What's that?
You can attribute that more to like the Big O, Oscar Robertson.
No, because that's not what
happened.
But Oscar Robertson came around. It wasn't like then everyone started having triple doubles. No one even came close to that except for Jordan's 32-8-8 one year. No one came close to that. But in this era, we see the high usage point, whatever you want to call him, guy, run your offense. Well, isn't that LeBron? Isn't that LeBron's influence? If it's not, what was it? The European influence?
No, I don't think it was LeBron. I just think the game... The game changed. It started to change where the point guard wasn't the one initiating the offense. They found they tried to find somebody that could do it all, and you still haven't necessarily been able to win championships that way. You haven't been able to win championships
because
that
LeBron
way.
Is too hard to imitate. I get like, it, but me, I do think me, it had an effect
me,
on the league.
Give me a championship winner outside LeBron James with Kyrie and company or D-Wade and company that was able to just do it like that.
And the problem is that it's been mostly LeBron and Steph. There haven't been that many championships that have gone to other players.
But when you look at it, the cast of characters around them is as legit as them.
But even a guy like Giannis, who before you guys like, oh, he doesn't really pass the ball. Giannis is getting like 5 assists a game, something like that. A guy like
That's not a lot, a
long, lanky, power forward type back in the day, like Kevin McHale, is getting 1 or 2 assists a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's passing out of a double team a couple times, and he's in transition a ton, so he gives the ball up in transition.
He does, but he also
those aren't real assist. Jokic is his real assist.
Well, that's a different level.
That's
yeah, I guess
real assist. Giannis is like you said, you know, transition. You get a ball up, you get it back. I give it back to him again. you know, or I kick it out of the double team because they're closing in on me and I let somebody
You don't think someone like LeBron had an influence on the way someone like Giannis plays at 6'11 or whatever he is?
I think there's influence.
Handling.
There's some influence, but I don't think it's to the degree of the
four people
that we're talking about.
That's why I said he's there. I just don't think he's top four.
So what was Iverson's influence on the way the game was played in terms of the strategy on the floor?
Oh my God, he was one of the best ISO players the game of basketball has ever seen.
Right, so what came after him that influenced the way rosters were constructed?
You're not going to have the influence as it relates to rosters, but the way people played the game, Max, like the handles, the M1 handles, that is what basketball became. Like that led to White Chocolate. That led to Jamal Crawford. That led to different forms of that in the way the game is played.
And Iverson absolutely could be on the list. What I'm saying is there are different ways to look at influence on the floor. One is, all these players played like him. Another is, how are teams looking? What's the basic strategy? How are teams looking
Jay said, it was a lot of dudes that came at the same time as Iverson and shortly after Iverson was trying to emulate Iverson on and off the court.
So when you see bigs, whether or not they're bigs, I use Giannis. You could use Joker.
You could say Shaq, right?
Yeah.
Shaq was, didn't Shaq change the way teams ran their defense? It was a hack of Shaq strategy.
As a matter of fact, Shaq was influential, yeah.
Yeah, but see, for me as a former athlete, when I think about influential, like me as a kid watching like their stuff, like do I see other people my age or a little bit older mimicking that, trying to do that? Influential, right? Like that's taking over the basketball, you know, grassroots by storm. Like that's influential to me.
I think one of the issues is LeBron's influence will be a little harder to see because Steph was almost a contemporary. He was a contemporary, but he came a little bit after and changed the games to such a degree that LeBron's influence kind of gets swamped by Steph's influence. But it doesn't mean it wasn't there. When you see guys 6'8 and better, playing with it's not that they play exactly like LeBron, as you can see that influence on their game. Magic and Bird did that for a while, then Jordan came along, and then everyone wanted to be like Mike. So that kind of style of play seemed to me, among the very best players in the game, to go away a little bit. And the ascendancy of the ISO scorer wing guy was the thing that people were looking for. And what was winning championships? MJ and Kobe. I mean, between them, that's 11 chips. And then LeBron came along and changed that. I don't know. I would have LeBron on there with...
Over who?
I would have Steph and MJ for sure. LeBron... And then it probably does come down to Magic or AI or... I mean, I remember Dr. J when I was a kid. He had a big influence because if not for him, there's no MJ.
You don't think Magic was one of the most influential players?
I said Magic or AI.
I know, I'm just saying, ever?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, ever.
Yes, I said looking for that fourth slot. That's who I'm looking for.
It wasn't just Bucks passing, man. It was showtime. It was showtime in the Lakers. Like, you talk about one of the best shows you ever watched. It was it was the way he was in business rooms. It was the way, like, he had so much flair to his game. And it was in L.A.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe
it's true.
It's more of a cultural thing for me, Key. And I don't know. Like...
You ain't got no argument with me. I got the same four as you. I love LeBron. LeBron is my guy, but I just don't see it like that.
I would probably have Magic before AI, as a matter of fact.
You haven't been able to duplicate that at all.
Yeah.
You just haven't been able to duplicate it.
But influence means, not duplicate, but influence means that either people are trying to.
That's duplicating.
Or the way the game has changed.
But that's duplicating.
The way they play has changed roster construction, the whole thing.
Everybody's still trying to be Steph.
Yeah,
there's
agreed.
People that make you go, oh, okay, that's a Steph shot, but they're not Steph.
Is Victor Wembanyama as can't-miss a prospect as people have made it seem? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We welcome in now Jay Billis, ESPN College Basketball Analyst. NBA JB. Draft on ESPN. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Morning, Jay.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, Commissioner? How you doing today?
Oh, I'm the Commissioner now.
I mean, you're the Commissioner of all basketball, in my opinion, if you ask me.
Wouldn't that be nice? I would have a staff and a limo. I need that.
Plus, I'll get a chance to hear your rants, JB, which for me is the best part about basketball. But speaking of rants, I do want to ask you about, you know, we had Corey Alexander on our show earlier, who obviously is with us. And I heard Woj say this during the draft lottery. Would you concur that you think Victor Wembanyama is the best NBA draft prospect the game of basketball has ever seen? Are you willing to say that yet, JB?
I'm not, but okay. He's certainly the most interesting player I've ever seen. I mean, you know, when you start talking about impact players, it's hard to imagine there would be a greater impact player in basketball than Lew Alcindor or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was when he came out of UCLA in 1969. That's actually within my lifetime. They changed the rules for Kareem when he was in college. But Victor's unique. We've never seen anything like this guy. And, you know, Jay Will, I played against Ralph Sampson, who was 7'4", you know, crazy length, crazy athleticism, all this stuff. And I think if Ralph were born 19 years ago, we would be making that comparison with him and Victor. But he was born in the era of big guys had their back to the basket, you know, and in practice, the coaches would say, all right, big guys on this end and work on your big guy stuff, and then guards down this end and, you know, work on the total game. And but Victor has been raised as a guard. But his impact goes beyond offense. Like, he can shoot threes. He operates as a pick and roll handler. He's like a 6'2 player inside a 7'4 body. But his impact defensively is going to be, you know, tremendous. He played in the same division in France as Rudy Gobert. And Gobert played, for the stats, played 27 games. And I think Victor played 34. So he played 7 more games. He blocked 53 more shots than Gobert did. And he can block them on the perimeter. He can switch on to a smaller offensive player after a pick and roll situation, play 5 or 6 feet off him, take away the drive, and still recover to a step back and get a piece of it or certainly change it. I mean, he's just a range shot blocker that can do things at his size that we've never really seen before.
Almost two blocks a game more than Gobert in the same league. That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, he's legit. Now, what you know, what could hold him back is injury or durability. But you know, we questioned that a little bit with Kevin Durant saying, "Oh, he can't bench press 185 pounds, and he's stick figure thin, and all this stuff." And he's held up pretty well. And there's no indication that Victor Wembanyama has any injury issues or will have any. He actually is a next level thinker with regard to taking care of his body and acting and behaving like a pro and doing injury prevention stuff. He's sort of been raised to be a pro and he seems to have a great mind, not only on the court, but off it. and he's prepared himself to be the best player in the world. And for him, he can be. And I, you know, back to Jay Will's original question, like, I don't know. I'm not arguing with anybody here. I don't know whether he's the best prospect in the history of basketball or team sports or whatever. I do know this: in the 21 years I've been doing it, it's him and LeBron as the best prospects. And if you took those two side by side at 18 or 19, and I know it's hard not to factor in what LeBron became after that, but if you said just their profiles as prospects at that age, I think it'd be a hard decision who you would take.
Jay, with the Trailblazers sitting at 3, would you be surprised at all if they moved out of that position?
Well, it depends what they can get. I mean, moving out of that high of a draft pick is basically trading your future for the present. So I would be surprised if they did it. They'd have to get something really good, because they're gonna have the chance to get either Brandon Miller from Alabama or Scoot Henderson out of the G League. And you know, Miller is arguably the best shooter in the draft, although there are other guys that could certainly take that mantle from him. There are a number of very good shooters in this draft. But you know, he's 6'9" and athletic, and you know, an NBA wing. And then Henderson is he's got the profile of a Russell Westbrook type player. And again, I'm not projecting him to be as great as Westbrook has been, but that's who he compares to at this stage of his career. You look at Russell Westbrook as a sophomore at UCLA, freshman at UCLA. He compares favorably. Henderson compares favorably to that. And you know, he's just not a shooter yet. But neither was Westbrook at that time.
So, Jimmy, after Wembanyama, who would you take?
I would take Miller just because of his shooting and his size. There are no question marks with regard to his ability to shoot it, and Henderson has that question mark, and it's a question that he may answer in the future, because he can make shots. He doesn't have a form that's broken or anything like that, but he's just not a consistent shooter, and he's not a high level free throw shooter. You know, he only shoots about 28% from three. But I think he's going to get better. And if you look at his numbers in the G League, he's played 2 years in the G League. He actually stayed after playing last year and played another year. But his numbers in the G League are actually better offensively than Jalen Green's were when he was in the G League. Better offensive rating, better rebounder, better assist guy, all that stuff. So he can play, and he's ultra competitive and really long-armed. I mean, he's got the arms of a 6'8", 6'9" guy.
JB, everybody's obviously going to talk about the top three picks. You got the Thompson twins that played at Overtime Elite. You got guys like Grady Dick that played at Kansas. One of the names that really intrigues me, I think, being at 6'7", 230 pounds, I've heard some scouts talk about him more as like a prolific Jay Crowder or a Caron Butler, is the name Cam Whitmore from Villanova. What do you think about him as a prospect, and what do you think the upside is for him?
You know, Jay, I've got him ranked 4th overall. Cam Whitmore went to Villanova, and he had his season interrupted by injuries where he was on and off the floor. But he's really an elite athlete with an NBA body, you know, really strong, and he can really attack the rim. If I remember right, he shot like 65, 66% at the rim, and he's a really good cutter. You know, he moves without the ball pretty well. And can really slash, and he's a versatile defender. You know, he can guard multiple spots, and he gets steals. But that body is impressive at that age. And his shooting stroke is solid. Like, he can catch and shoot. Shot about 35% from three. But I think with a little bit more time and season being interrupted with those injuries was problematic for him. You know, it's difficult for any player, let alone a young player, to be in and out of the lineup. But when he was right, you know, you're going, man, this dude is a baller. And I like him a lot. I think he projects very well in the NBA.
Jay Billis, ladies and gentlemen. Always good talking to you.
Commissioner on this show.
Always good talking to you, Jay.
Good being with you guys. Thank you. And I look forward to that limo picking me up with my staff later.
Jay's going to send the limo.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. So we all agree Steph and MJ are two of the four most influential NBA players on court, on the court, of all time. The question is the other two slots. You two seem to have come to a consensus about Magic and AI being the other two guys. I think they're two candidates from a pool of four or five guys, including LeBron James. I think LeBron James, I think Dr. J, I think they're maybe those. I think whoever you credit with bringing in the Eurostep and all that, like, who would that be exactly?
How about Pete Maravich?
Pete, by the way, you're right. Pete Maravich.
Going out there, dude's dropping 50, 60 in games.
His stuff, but I don't really remember Pete Maravich.
I'm
like
just
that,
throwing
you know?
Names
you
out there.
I remember Pete Maravich, but you remember like Bob Cousy? Like, come on.
No. In other words, guys I watched play when they were great and said, oh, that's the guy.
You never watched
right?
clips of Pete Maravich?
Clips is different. I'm saying I remember when Dr. J was in the NBA, and it was like, well, he's not quite as good as he was, but he's still good. All right, anyway, is LeBron one of the guys? He's a candidate to me because I think he is the bridge between, at least, between the ISO hero ball era, whether that was a big guy like Shaq or you know, there were guys like David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Olajuwon, whether or not they won the title, but that was how you built your offense around that guy, or wing like Magic, like MJ and then Kobe. And then all of a sudden it became a less ISO ball type of era, and I think LeBron had a big influence on that.
Okay, candidate, I'm with you on that. I mean, I'll give you another candidate. Ready? And it's more just basketball specific. It may not have the overall global theme that the others carry. James Harden, man.
Yeah, right.
In terms of incorporating best innovators ever of the offensive game, he had dudes guarding him with their hands behind their backs. Like, essentially, he took this like the step back and like made a step back 2.0.
He was the
in
ultimate
the game of basketball in his prime.
He was like the absurd conclusion of the analytics era, where it's like only take the most efficient shot, get fouled, go to the line, hit a three, and that's basically it, right? Like, that's what you're doing.
Just saying, change the game. We got to take some callers. Wiz in Raleigh, North Carolina, what you got?
It's Khalif.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? Good morning.
What's up,
appreciate buddy? Y'all taking my call and stuff. I really got to go with Max, with LeBron, man. Like, he really brought in. He is like the ushering in of positionless basketball. Just, you know, just him coming in the game and.
But can't you make the case, Wiz? Can't you make the case that Magic Johnson actually ushered in positionless basketball?
I mean, he did it. He was a big point guard, but
he jumped center in the NBA Finals in his rookie year.
Guard.
He jumped. Right. He jumped center
and one
played center.
I get that. And then, but it wasn't like an effect. Like immediately afterwards, where teams were like, "This is what we need. We need a 6'9" guard that could jump center," and teams started building around it. They still had the basic you know, small guard, shooting guard, your small forward, and the positions were still there.
But that's what I'm asking, though, Wiz. Then who
did it? But the positions were still there.
Who are the other 6'9" guards that teams are building around now, though?
Yeah, but I think the difference is, Jay, that Magic. I disagree with you. I think they were looking for 6'9" guards, and that's why Jay brought up earlier. Who'd you say? I said Jalen Rose. You said someone else, or Key? You said someone else.
I said Penny.
Penny, right, they were looking for that. The problem is it's hard to find, right? Yeah. But I would say the difference is
that's the same thing with LeBron. They've been looking for that.
But the difference is you guys are thinking, I think, very like in a linear way, like what other player plays like that, as opposed to how is the game changed? How are rosters constructed? After Magic, it went into an era, in fact, because of MJ, of hero ball. That lasted a long time. The ISO scorer hero player lasted a long time. LeBron came around and changed that. And then the whole dynamic of basketball changed. And maybe that's overshadowed because Steph then changed it in an even bigger way right after LeBron. But I do think LeBron had enormous. I'm not saying Magic didn't, but LeBron did too.
I would say that Steph Curry is ISO ball. I would say that.
But fine.
I would say that
fine,
but his hands, Batman, shoot it. I mean,
but the ball doesn't stick with him, and the whole point is
because he can launch that thing from anywhere at any given moment that is going in.
But it's changed. It changed. Everyone has more space to play. It changed the way the game is played for sure. Patrick in the Bronx. What's up, Patrick?
What's going on? Listen, I just want to mention one name. I wanted to mention Manu Ginobili for the Eurostep. Yeah, I know Max touched on it, but. You know, he didn't mention the name, and I think because of that step, you know, a lot of guys have that in their repertoire right now.
Including James Harden, by the way, right? Like, Manu definitely was an influence.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. If you had a top 10, he'd be in there.
Yeah, one last thing. You mentioned Pistol Pete. Pistol Pete's name would have been up there because I'm old enough to have seen Pistol Pete play, and his name would have been up there, but at that time, that type of game was frowned upon. Nobody, you know, let him get loose. Like how guys are getting loose now, you know. But if he was let loose, his name would have been up there with the LeBrons and Currys.
He was too ahead of his time, in other words.
Too ahead of his time.
Yeah, right. Too ahead of his time. Yep. By the way, there are guys like that, like in boxing, Jack Johnson, too ahead of his time. Muhammad Ali changed everything, right? Like being too ahead of your time doesn't help. Sonny Liston. Romney in Brooklyn, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Max, what up? LeBron. Man, I think that LeBron definitely should be on the list over Allen Iverson, like you said earlier. I also think you gave them a lot of examples earlier and they ignored them. Luka, Giannis, I would even go Jokic.
Yeah,
even
Joker.
Though he's not a 6'9" point guard, he's at a different position. He's a scorer, rebounder. I mean, Jokic didn't play defense, but, you know, he played a little bit of defense. So I agree with you, man. I think they kind of – like grazed over all your examples.
No, as usual. As usual,
so
am I right, Romney?
Who's your top four, Romney? Who's your top four?
You said my top four? I go, you know, you got to go Mike, Steph, Magic, and Bron.
Yeah, I think hey, that's Romney, mine.
The only thing I need is accuracy, man. And when Max gives me accuracy, then I'm right there with him.
I gave you accuracy.
No, you didn't, Max.
Romney just agreed. Everyone's calling in agreeing.
Oh, everyone. One person.
They said everyone that five people just said, I'm a genius,
stop.
And you guys are dummies. That's what they just said. Five people in a row.
You've been waiting to call us dummies, huh? Finally got a chance to.
Listen to the podcast. If you download the podcast, you'll hear it. If you guys don't think LeBron is top four, I think it's debatable, actually. Like, LeBron, AI, Magic, there are a bunch of guys you could put there. Dr. J, I keep bringing up. Where would you have LeBron? Top 10? Most of the top five?
I'm like top five, top six, for sure.
But your two Mount Rushmores are... MJ, Steph.
Four.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. You said two.
I said your two.
Oh,
your guys,
your two.
Okay. Right. You have the same Mount Rushmore for influence on the court. MJ, Steph, Magic, AI.
Yeah,
I think that's perfectly fine. I would probably swap out AI for LeBron.
I'm piggybacking off the NBA guy, though. That's my deal. Mm.
Is that what you're doing?
Whatever Jay says, I say.
I've never culturally, man. I'm telling you, like you have little kids in suburban and the hood areas rocking arm sleeves.
Yeah. AI's got a hell of a case. There's no doubt about it. Well, another exciting episode of KJM. Greeny coming up. We're back 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.